Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something proper. A dark side edit of a Jungle 808 tale in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're going to control it with automation so it feels like a weapon, not just a long sub boom. The whole idea here is simple. In drum and bass, an 808 tail can do a lot of heavy lifting if you shape it right. It can hit after a snare chop, carry a transition into the next phrase, or answer the drums like a low-end call and response. That matters musically because you get weight and dread without filling every bar with notes. And it matters technically because the low end has to stay solid while the tail evolves over time. That's the difference between a sound that feels intentional and one that just smears across the grid. So let's build it from the ground up. Start with a clean mono 808 source. You can use an 808 sample with a clear transient and a long tail, or you can synthesize it with operator using a sine-based low end. If you want a little extra body, follow it with saturator. Keep the first note simple, around a bar long, so you can actually hear the movement in the tail. Don't overcomplicate the MIDI yet. One or two notes is enough. What to listen for right away is a solid front end. The note should feel centered, stable, and clean. No stir, no wobble, no ugly click, no weird phase mess. If the foundation is weak, the automation won't save it. It'll just highlight the flaws. Next, shape the tail length before you start moving anything. If you're using Simpler, make sure the sample is set up so the tail rings long enough and the end doesn't click. If the decay is too short, you won't have anything interesting to automate. If it's too long, especially around 174 BPM, it can blur into the snare and kill the groove. A good starting point is somewhere around 600 milliseconds to 2 seconds, depending on whether you want this to act like a drop accent or a transition event. Why this works in D&B is because the rhythm has to stay sharp. Drum and bass lives on decisive hits. The tail should feel like it belongs to the drum grid, not like it's floating over it. Now let's darken the tone with a simple stock device chain. A clean option is a EQ8, saturator, auto filter, and maybe a compressor if the level jumps too much. If you want something nastier and more damaged, go saturator first, then overdrive or distortion, then a EQ8. Then auto filter. A good starting point is saturator drive around 2 to 6 dB. Keep it tasteful. In EQ8, trim mud if needed, especially somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz, because that's the zone that often clouds the kick and snare body. Then use auto filter to shape the movement. Dark, somewhere roughly between 120 and 400 Hz, and keep the resonance moderate. Too much resonance can make the sound whistle and cheapen the whole thing. At this point, make a choice in character. If you want a cleaner, more premium dark tail, keep the processing focused and controlled. If you want something haunted, scuffed, and underground, lean into heavier saturation and more grit. Both work. Just commit to one vibe before you start automating. That's an important move. A clear identity always beats a half-clean, half-chaotic sound. Now for the fun part. Automation. This lesson is really about making the tail evolve inside the clip and arrangement. The first three controls I'd reach for are auto filter cutoff, saturator drive or dry slash wet, and clip gain or track volume. That's enough to create a proper storyline. A strong automation shape is this. Start dark and solid. Open the filter slightly through the first half of the tail, add a touch more drive as it decays, and then pull the level down near the end so it doesn't mask the next drum hit. The movement should feel like it's revealing itself, not like it suddenly turned into a random sweep. What to listen for here is whether the tail feels like it's opening up with purpose. If it gets brighter too fast, it stops feeling subterranean and starts sounding like a generic effect. The best dark side tails feel like they're breathing, not shouting. Now decide whether the pitch should stay fixed or move. A static pitch tail is cleaner and more sub-focused. That's great if you want a roller-style bass event that stays disciplined. A subtle falling pitch can be amazing for darker jungle impact or transition, but keep it restrained. 1 to 3 semitones is usually enough. If it slides too far, the bass loses its authority and starts feeling like a gimmick. What to listen for is identity. Even with movement, it should still sound like the same sound from start to finish. If the tail turns into something else halfway through, the motion is too extreme. Now test it with drums. This part is huge. Don't judge it in solo and call it finished. Loop it against a snare on 2 and 4, a jungle break chop, and a kick pattern around it. Listen for whether the tail leaves room for the snare crack and whether the sub still reads clearly when the break gets busy. If the tail is trampling the drums, shorten it, reduce some low-mid energy around 200 to 400 Hz, or automate a small volume dip before the next hit. If it feels too polite, add a little more saturation, Let the first 100 to 200 milliseconds stay louder or extend the tail slightly, but only if the groove still breathes. That's the Riedel DNB reality check. The sound has to work in the pocket, not just sound impressive alone. Keep going. This is where the good stuff starts to lock in. Once the sound works, think about it as a phrase, not just a note. In an 8-bar context, maybe bars 1 and 2 use a short dark answer after a break chop. Bars 3 and 4 open the filter a little more. Bars 5 and 6 introduce a more obvious tail or pitch bend. Then bars 7 and 8 strip it back so the drop can breathe again. That kind of progression makes the sound feel like part of the arrangement, not just a repeated effect. A great move is to let the 808 land at the end of bar 4 and swell into bar 5. That low-end tension can make the next section hit much harder. And here's a practical coach tip. Once you've got a version that feels right, print it to auto. Resampling gives you control. You can reverse the end, cut the fade exactly where you want it, chop it into a fill, or duplicate it into short, medium, and long versions. In drum and bass, that saves a ton of time and makes arrangement decisions much easier. If you want to keep it club safe, stay disciplined in the low end. Keep the sub mono. If you want width, add it only to a filtered texture layer or a higher harmonic layer, not to the core fundamental. In mono, the tail should still feel anchored. If the low end disappears when summed, the width or phase content is too heavy on the important part of the sound. One of the biggest pro moves here is separating weight from menace. Let the sub provide the weight. Let automation create the menace. If one layer tries to do everything, the sound gets muddy fast. Also, protect that 180 to 350 Hz range. That's where a lot of tails start getting boxy and start fighting the snare body. And remember, less automation can actually sound heavier. In darker drum and bass, tiny movements read as confident. A subtle filter rise plus a touch of extra drive often hits harder than a giant sweep. Small changes, used with intent, feel premium. There are a few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the tail too long. Don't brighten it too quickly. Don't widen the sub. Don't overdrive it until the note loses pitch, and don't forget to audition it against the kick and snare. A tail can sound massive in solo and still ruin the drop. That's one of the easiest traps to fall into. If you want to push it further, try layering a very quiet filtered noisy copy that appears later in the decay. That gives the impression that the sound is revealing a second layer of damage as it ages. Another strong move is to open the low pass only after the transient, so the front stays heavy and the later tail gets dirtier. That feels intelligent, like the note starts controlled and then becomes more threatening. Also, think about function. Does this tail lead into the next event, or does it hit on the event itself? If it leads, let the automation rise as it approaches the next drum hit. If it hits, keep the front edge strong and let the decay fall away faster. Don't force every tail to do both jobs. Clarity wins. So here's your practice move. Build one usable Darkside Jungle 808 tail inside Ableton using only stock devices. Keep the sub mono. Use no more than 3 automation lanes. Then make 2 versions, one shorter and tighter, one longer with either a pitch fall or a brighter tail opening. Put both into an 8-bar loop and test them against Riedel drums. And if you want the full challenge, make 3 versions, one short and clean, one longer with more obvious automation, and one dirtier, more threatening version for phrase endings or second drop energy. That's a proper little toolkit right there. Quick self-check before you move on. Does the tail still hit cleanly when the drums are playing? Can you still hear the root note through the automation? In mono, does the low end stay firm and centered? And does at least one version feel like a transition tool, not just a bass note? That's the lesson. Build the foundation. Keep the sob stable. Shape the tail with filter, saturation, and volume, and always test it in the drum pocket. Done right. This kind of 808 tail feels dark, heavy, purposeful, and totally usable in a Riedel DNB arrangement. Now go make it breathe. Go make it menace the mix and bounce a few versions before you overthink it. That's how you get the results.